Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right, good job, Joe, because I wrote down like four things from your update.
Okay.
The last of which is this Reinhardt Award. Bulldog. So,
yeah.
The Rick Martin Award is presented. It was presented to Sam Reinhardt. Good for Sam Reinhardt.
Yeah.
The player fans believe best demonstrates on-ice excellence, resiliency, and dedication to the community. That's one award? How do you parse all that?
Voted on by the fans, by the way.
Right.
If I didn't include that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot. There's a lot. It's a lot there.
Is that like MVP? MVP?
I think so.
Dedication to the community means what exactly?
In this year especially, I don't know. I mean, you know, I imagine that's the stuff that the pro athletes and certainly the guys on the Bills and Sabres are no exceptions, visiting hospitals and things like that. Charitable endeavors. I don't have a list of things that Reinhardt's involved in. So I don't know.
Good thing he didn't vote.
I know. I really felt like as a member of the media, you know,
you stay out of it.
Right. It's not my thing. So I don't know. Yeah.
It's just kind of an all encompassing award.
Yeah. Well,
how about how he wears a suit? That's not part of the consideration? On-ice excellence, resiliency, and dedication to the community. Well, good for him. And
cutting a mean look in a suit could be dedication to the community.
I don't know.
You're repping Buffalo.
Why leave fashion out of it, I say.
I'm trying too hard.
It's nice to see Rick Martin's name also. Good idea.
For sure. I'm glad that they have chosen his name to be on that award. It's the first year for it, but long may that award ride. You know, whatever the criteria are, good. Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Anytime we get to mention Rick Martin's name or think about Rick Martin, that's fine by me.
Yeah. So you did speaking of the Sabres, somewhat, you did a mailbag column yesterday, and the first question you took was, what should they do with Don Granato?
Mm-hmm.
And so the season is about to end. What should they do with Don Granato?
Probably keep him. I think I forget what I wrote. I think I wrote I'm leaning toward keeping him, but it's not like a slam dunk to me. Because I don't know who else might be of interest to them or interested in them. So I don't want to just, you know, limit the search to the guy who, you know, took over a team that was in the midst of an 18-game losing streak and things got better. I mean, things have gotten better. Guys have made progress. I think that's almost undeniable.
It's also almost impossible to have not happened.
Exactly.
From what
so,
they were.
Like, what, you know, like, I know I hear a lot, and I've said, and I think I even wrote it, like, I've enjoyed watching the games much more here in you know, really since Granato took over. I guess not immediately. They did lose six more games before they finally stopped losing after he took over. I think it was a 12-game winless streak when he took over. But I think there's a few things to consider. You know, like, one, are you just taking into account that the team doesn't make you mad anymore? Like, as far as fan support goes, anyway. Like, again, the bar wasn't very high. So you want to like the team, and so you get some better results, even just individually, if not, you know, winning game after game, because they certainly didn't do that. They still lost more than they won here under Granato.
9-18.
But there's been progress with individuals, and I think that's encouraging. And I like how he sounds about the game, right? I think I alluded to that in this mailbag you're referring to. You know, him talking about Reinhardt playing center, no reason to move him back. Be entertaining, right? Don't just dump the puck away. Hang on to it. I'd rather you turn it over than just throw it into the zone.
Offense.
Without any kind of a real plan. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot that I think you can like there, but it all does. And, you know, you can judge how strong of a point this should be, you know, for yourselves, you included. There is no pressure here on the results. And, you know, I think we tend to think of that from a player standpoint, like no one's tense, they're relaxed, so they're just playing because the wins and losses aren't as impactful as they would be if you were striving for a playoff spot or home ice or a division crown, whatever varying degree of incentive there normally is. Now, there is still professional incentive. There's career advancement, right? Like making a place for yourself on this team or a team in the league by performing. But it is, I think it's different. But I think for a coach, too, I think this is going to sound maybe like too critical of Granato. And I don't know the man. I've never, you know, how many people have met him in this year? I mean, not that many, probably, even though he's the coach of the team.
You wonder if Paul's even met him.
Right, like face-to-face. I think it's easy to talk the way he's talking about how he wants the team to play and sound like he's not obsessed with defending and offense is more important than being entertaining. I think that's conveniently easy for a coach to do when they are locked into last place for all intents and purposes once he takes over.
Well, it might be, but you don't want to be implying that he doesn't mean it.
I know, but I just when the 2 points really matter, structure and defense could become more prominent. I would almost predict that they would. So I don't even know how strong of a criticism that is. I just everything that's happening, I think, should be taken. Like, there's got to be points deducted for where they were coming from as individuals, as a team, and the results and the mood of the fans. And I include even Granato's theories about how the game should be played because they're just not playing in a season where there's any real stake. And I just think that can change. That pressure can change what you want. You know, you lose a one-goal game because you're hanging on to the puck instead of throwing it into the zone. You might be tempted to be a little more cautious with your players about your directives. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I've got no problem with the guy at all. I mean, I think a lot of what you said, I agree with. I think it would be pretty much unanimous in a couple of fronts here that they have improved, and I certainly agree with how he's sounded. I mean, there have been a few times when I've been excited about how mm-hmm. he sounded, and I never expect that to happen. I think you have... I don't know. Like, Eichel is his own. That's a different topic. That's even a bigger one for the Sabres to figure out. And, you know, not just because it's kind of happened before, but you would want, we've got Aaron Rodgers in the news too. Like, you'd want to know have some idea of what Eichel thinks, but he's never played for him, right? Like, how would he know? What would he know about him at this point, right? Because he's not even out there. I mean, I think they'll probably do something with him irrespective of what they're thinking coach-wise. Or put another way, I don't think Eichel's future comes down to what they do here with Granato. I'd guess that. Mm-hmm. I still think the Sabres have a credibility problem that Don Granato, with all due respect, probably doesn't fix like a Boudreaux would. And when Kruger was out there just losing night after night and driving us crazy with his explanations for it, Boudreaux was my idea. That was the guy. He even sounded like he would want the job, you know? Yeah. And so I would still want that for the Sabres. It would sort of be tough on Granato, like he hasn't done anything to need to be replaced or anything like that. But I feel like Boudreaux would give the Sabres something they badly need. And so I guess I want to make an exception for him, you know, more than I'm not sure I'd make one for anybody else. Even Julian, maybe I would. I mean, that accomplishes the same thing. If you have a coach that's won so much in the league, okay. And players know what that means when they consider signing with the Sabres. You know, they will know what that means with those coaches. And they wouldn't with this guy. Like, not the biggest problem, not even necessarily a problem. I mean, I don't know what kind of free agent season is coming up for them. Do goalies care who the coach is? Right? Like, what is it going to mean for anybody the Sabres want to bring in to play goalie? I don't know. I don't think I'll be mad if he stays.
Same here. Like, I'm not against it.
Right.
I'm definitely not the campaign manager. Like, he's got to stay. I mean, I think, you know, you can make a case. I mean, they're playing with a payroll that's like half the salary cap right now. So he is, you know, whatever they're accomplishing, he is doing a lot with very little as far as accomplished NHL players go. And, you know, sometimes, like last night, it really looks like it. But for the most part, it hasn't. Like, they have been, win or lose, they've been competitive, I think. And I don't think that's just Kruger's gone, I feel better. I think they've been better overall, despite still losing, you know, quite a few more games than they've won.
Two out of three.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm open to it, but I also want to be open to a better idea if there is one.
Yep.
And I don't know if they've already exhausted the potential for that, or if they haven't even begun because the season isn't over yet. You know, I don't know. You know, Bruce Boudreaux, they could have done anytime they wanted, and they haven't.
That's right.
So that sort of tilts me toward he's probably not an option for some reason or another. Like, I think they maybe have decided he's not an option. I could be wrong about that, but that my read would be, like, if they wanted him to be their coach, they could have talked to him and hired him 2 days
whenever.
After they fired Kruger. Yeah,
whenever.
Right. Or now, even. But so,
I would believe that, too.
But I still would want to, like, sort of go through the, you know, I would want to go through it, because you might find some things out about your team by even just talking to other hockey coaches that, you know, what ideas they have for how you can make this work, whether that's, you know, managing Eichel, trading Ristolainen, you know, whatever, just, I think it's a process worth going through. And so I wouldn't really want to just say the season's over, we've decided we're keeping Don Granato. I still think you can spend some time looking at other alternatives.
What the Sabres way might be would be to announce that they're keeping him and then 2 weeks later fire him. That's what Botterill,
right.
That's what they did with Botterill. They announced it and then they just undid it. Yeah, like you can go through the offseason into next year with Granato and then you change him out anytime you want. I mean, the real teams do that. The real teams don't lose 18 games in a row. They just, like, you're gone. Goodbye. This is just not, we can't live with it. And the Sabres took that to an incredible extreme with Kruger. Right. They still couldn't find a way to win one game in that stretch with him before they finally just the dam broke. At least they eventually did it, but what a waste of time.
Yeah. So, you know, I do like a lot about what he, again, what he sounds like, what he seems to represent, his ability to, how he communicates with us, you know, not you and I specifically, but I think you know what I mean. Just the things he has to say in these press conferences indicate to me that this is a guy that has a good touch with the players. But, you know, I might be an idiot. I thought the same thing about Ralph Kruger. And look at how that turned out. So, you know, I'm a little, you know, I'm a little gun shy about committing because, yep. You know, I feel like I've allowed myself to be duped.
Yeah, he might have a good touch with the players, and maybe Kruger did too, but it was the hockey stuff that got this team, you know, that sent this team to the bottom again. And I think in terms of the hockey stuff, we've said it already. Granato seems to have a lot of it right. So I think you can be hopeful there, but it is an interesting situation. Coach, goalie, Eichel, the Sabres have a lot to figure out.
Yes, they do.
And you also wrote that it's, in so many words, the way I read it was good luck.
Yeah.
You know, like you have a losing season. Of course, this is 10 now without the playoffs, which is extraordinary. You have a losing season, but you've got this, and this. And so let's try again. They have a lot to figure out. Goalie is a tough puzzle. The coach, I'm not sure the coach is the most important thing. And Eichel, you still have that sort of, I don't know, momentum perhaps toward, I always have to hesitate before saying that word because it's just so often a word, such a useless word on broadcasts. It's supposed to mean something, and you know sometimes the word can actually mean something. There is still sort of a background noise of like, yeah, he could go, and maybe he will, and I kind of think he's going. You know, the way Elliot talks, the way other guys on the inside seem to talk about it. Does it sound that way to you? By the way, like I'm not saying you should hear that the same way.
I don't know that it sounds like he should go or is gonna go, but like it definitely sounds like people are gonna call them.
It sounds to me like those guys expect him to be traded.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure I would say that. I don't know. I'm sure we're looking and reading a lot of the same things, looking at and reading many of the same things. I'm not sure that I feel like they expect it. But I mean, it's a relatively constant talking point. There's no question about that. And I still feel like it's largely speculative. In other words, I think a lot of it is dot connecting. They're terrible. He's been frustrated. He said so publicly after a couple of these seasons, last season for sure. I don't think it was the first time he said like, this isn't fun. But I don't know that anybody's got, like, he wants out yet.
No, but those guys, of course, talk to the team. And there's at least they always talk about it at least as though the window is open, you know, to the idea that you don't have the Green Bay Packers press release with the Sabres. And I don't blame them for that. I don't think there should be that. I think anybody can be traded. And I think the Sabres might be acting appropriately about this, which is this something we have to do because of what he's told them or just maybe for other reasons? Is this something we think we should do, whatever the package would be coming back, anything? I think they're probably in the right place about it or a place that I would agree with. But, it, you know, when Elliott's on the station or Dreger, like, they don't have the Sabres would never do it. They don't. It's not
right.
Cold. You
no,
know. It's
that, like no. That's right. Yeah. No. That's definitely right. But again, that doesn't mean they're gonna do it.
No,
or
no.
That he's insisted. You know. Or whatever. But yeah. No. I know. It is. It. You
but
know,
if, but the, Bulldog, the, if you know this, but if either side didn't want it. Like, just no, that's what it would sound like in those conversations. It would that would come out in those conversations.
Yeah, no, that's the point. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, I've thought all along. I mean, again, you know, Eichel doesn't have to have news conferences to let us know that he doesn't want to be traded.
Right.
But there's a way that he could get that out there if he wanted to, even without a news conference. Like, he could just call Elliott Friedman, tell him, like, stop it. We don't want out. We're gonna be a part of the solution in Buffalo.
And some of this might,
something.
Some of this might be because of his injury, too, like... You still read that. Joe, do you know the latest on that? Wasn't there an update the other day, which is they still do not agree on proceed with his injury?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, you had a little of that when the injury first happened, or it was first announced
he should,
out for the season.
Whether he should get surgery or not has been somewhat in dispute, I think. But I don't know. I don't know details. They wouldn't even tell us for a long time what his injury was. So it can be tough to know. That's my excuse.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a pretty serious situation, right? What are we talking about? Herniated discs in his neck? Is that the injury?
Yeah.
Anything with herniated sounds bad.
Right.
Anything herniated, you don't want it.
Yeah.
I learned a new medical word last night, by the way. This is not related to Jack Eichel or the neck area at all. The word is parosmia. I think I have parosmia.
Hmm. Okay.
Parosmia, maybe it is. I don't know how to say it. I've never heard anyone say it.
Yeah.
So I have had this thing, and I bet somebody listening will say that they've had the same thing. I've had this thing where drinks smell bad. Like, not always, but it's different drinks, not even alcoholic drinks only, just like orange juice, like almost like sulfur.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't, just think about that, but it happened a few times, and I went last night, just Google searched it, and they say, that is a COVID side effect. Your nose does not send the right message to the brain, so the smell is different. Mm-hmm. And so, not a common one, but, I had COVID in December, and also have had both shots, and I don't know if that is part of it, but I have this thing now where I'm wondering how long I'll have it. Parosmia. Is that new? This is all new information?
That is new to me. Not the part about the smell. I've heard that being related to COVID, but
yeah.
I never heard the term before.
Okay. You think Kirsten knows parosmia? Would she know that in her education?
I would almost say 99% yes.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, I know. I'll text her. I mean, I now that I said that, I could lie still too. How would you guys know?
She needs to say yes.
She needs
just
to
quickly
say
look it up. Sure, I know what that is. We studied that.
Yeah.
We studied parosmia. Not a Saber rando, by the way. Parosmia. Not a guy who just was called up to fill in for three games 5 years ago.
Right.
Parosmia. Jacob
Holy
parosmia.
Cow. Are we ever going to have some fun with that? God willing, we're all still here. But down the road,
team?
This year has really been something. I mean, we'll see. I mean, some of these guys might, whatever. Like, Brett Murray doesn't have to just come and go. Maybe he'll be around, and so he won't be like that, right? But, Drake Kajula and, I don't know, the goalies.
Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall.
Eric Staal.
Eric Staal.
Right.
And to think the season has been so short. Still, so many new names to laugh about.
Yeah, what was it? Seven guys made their NHL debuts with the Sabres this season.
Yep.
And again, they're all not guys that are just going to be drive-bys. Luukkonen, you hope, is going to be here a long time. He's one of them. Bryson, I think you might be hoping. Cousins, obviously. But, some of these other guys.
How about Lekas?
Lekas, right.
We didn't see him.
He's got to get in.
He's got to get in. We didn't see it. They gave up 8 goals. He still couldn't get in.
Doesn't sound like they're gonna. I was getting.
Don't
yeah.
don't do not just do, folks. Like, look, I'll regret saying this maybe this way, but don't encourage your kids to become goalies, because it just you live like some backwards existence, feeling the stress that the parents of other goalies are feeling. I really felt sick to my stomach last night in the third period of that game, watching that kid with 28-year-old, with 20 family, everybody there, and he's had 2 really nice games, and that is happening. I felt actually sick. It's just brutal to watch, because your kid's been through it, and you know how you felt, and here it's the NHL, and oh God, I felt nauseous. For him, for his parents, it's awful.
Sounds like he'll have a chance at redemption tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
We'll take
Good
a break. We've got Mark Schofield today, and Sal will join us. The schedule is next week. I learned a little nugget out about the schedule, so I'm eager to share that. We'll look for your calls, too, 803-0550. Talk about Zach Ertz. That's still out there. as a possibility. There's a 23-ton rocket chunk expected to crash to Earth this weekend. We've got a lot. This show is just never long enough.
In the news. Yeah.
Didn't mean to say that on the air. It's long enough. It's long enough, actually. Thanks for listening. Again, happy Friday, and we'll be right back. Mike Schope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I get the sense that Brind'Amour is going to test the free agent market. Does it make more sense to him to push away from another renovation project, which appears to be in Buffalo? Probably not. But when guys like that are available, then the market opens up. And you look at Columbus, and you look at all the teams that you can put a question mark beside coach.
Darren Dreger on WGR today, the Instigators. I'm not really following this idea. Rod Brind'Amour is just, to me, a guy that would never work for the Sabres. I don't know.
Why do you say that?
The only thing I've thought about for that is Kevin Adams is the GM, and they would have played together.
You know these guys that are, like, always sort of beating us in hockey?
Yeah.
They don't come over too often. They don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if he leaves, does Columbus outrank the Sabres in that regard for him? I mean,
yes. Every team. Maybe every team does. Most teams do, I think. I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't have to be right.
Yeah, I think the Adams connection is a good place to start. I mean, they won a cup together. I'm very surprised to hear Dreger say that. Like, to the extent that I have been following that, the last thing I saw about it was the owner said, we're going to, you know, these things take time. We're going to figure it out. Like, he's not going anywhere. But, like, you know, that doesn't have to mean, like, that might end up meaning he tests the free agent market and then goes back to his owner with a huge contract offer and says, this is what it's going to take to keep me. And then maybe he just says, okay, fine. And they do it. I don't know.
Let's see if they win rounds.
Yeah.
First.
But, yeah.
They're going to get Nashville in round one, so.
Hey, listen, I've got money on that, and not yet. Well, I need one more win first. They are 5 points up, and Tampa has 3 games left. Not yet. Sorry, that's just sort of for me. Mm-hmm. That's just for me there. Okay, well, I mean, we'll see what happens. We might like the coach they have.
I like him well enough. I think Rod Brind'Amour would be a great hire. But I don't want to invest in it. Not because the guys that beat us never come over, like you said, but it would stun me if he actually left, if they were short-sighted enough to not pay him enough to keep him around there. because they've had great success with him as their coach almost from the minute he got there.
How much money do these teams make, though? Like, how much money do the Carolina Hurricanes – and look, the owner might be super wealthy. I think he is. And that's the case here. But, like, how much operating money is there in the budget for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, not enough to where 2 years ago when Montreal – offer sheeted Sebastian Aho, they had to take a loan out to be able to pay it up front. So whatever that number was, like they Montreal thought they could get them on that.
Teams are worth a lot of money, but that's not the same as having money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Liquid, you know? Just like how do NHL teams make money when you can't sell tickets? How do they do that? TV money is minimal, relatively. There must be ways. Ads on the boards. People still
ads
watch
on helmets.
Games.
Those
not,
are new.
Not that many, but still people right. watch games. So, all right.
Well, there is new TV money coming in.
Yes.
I mean, $850 million, I think, per year is coming in, split up between the teams. So, I mean, it's minimal compared to the other sports for sure, especially the NFL. But, I mean, that's a chunk of change that I think is probably a huge right. portion of what they're getting.
But it's a good point to make here. Like, I'm just assuming the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes would do whatever he's got to do and pay Rod Brindamore $5 or $6 million a year to keep him if that's what he can get on the open market. And the point Mike might be making here is, like, don't assume that all these teams, any of these teams, are just sitting on enough money to do that. They might balk at that because they haven't had any income coming in since – you know, like, or not the usual income anyway, since last March.
It's completely reasonable to think that team could win the Stanley Cup. And that, mm-hmm. you know, how they do in the playoffs will probably have something to do with how that plays out. Mark Schofield today, also Sal Capaccio. The schedule is Wednesday, so I don't think I'm going to do this. But I felt like one way where I could sort of make a mark in the world of schedule predictions and analysis is to just predict the whole damn thing. The whole league, including night games.
The whole league?
Yes. I think I should probably do that. It's late. It's going to be tough now. I think I should just write a schedule. It's not like it would be that hard. It'd just take time. You know all the games. You know, you just sort of put them out there. Get a grid and just sort of fill in the grid with games.
I feel weighed down by the thought of you doing this.
I would enjoy it.
I just can't even, like, I just honestly, like, I'm sitting over here like, oh, I don't want to get up tomorrow. just, that's how I felt when you said that. It just seems like so much work. I just can't even imagine tackling that level of project.
I've done that sort of thing before. Not literally this, but like I write schedules.
Have you done it for fantasy
league? Yeah, I wrote the schedule for Mike Dempsey's league, which was 32 teams. And he's like, yeah, I just want, division mates to play twice or whatever. I'm like, okay, got it. I'll show you. I'll send you a picture of the grid because I love that stuff. It's like a big crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
So I learned something about the schedule today.
Okay.
It's only this. So I have a friend in the league that I texted. And I said, when do the teams get to know what the schedule is? Like, when do the teams find out? Because I thought it might have been, like, already. Mm-hmm. The schedule announcement is Wednesday night. And maybe the teams, like maybe Brandon Bean knows already what the schedule is. Somebody, it's probably done, right? Sal's got the friend with the in the network business. And as this friend of mine also said, by the way, the networks find out well in advance. So like what's well in advance? We are 5 days away. Does
outside, like by now seems like, I think if you didn't find out yet and you find out like on Monday, that's not well in advance.
No, right.
Any longer. Like we're right on the edge of well in advance being over, I would say.
I agree. Like, I think it might already be over. It might already be over.
It could be. It could be, yes.
Yeah, like so does NBC – and who would NBC – I don't know if Al Michaels knows the schedule yet. I guess we could ask him and see if he tells us. But I think probably executives know. So anyway – I asked my friend, like, what is the answer to this? And he said, usually, let me just have it in front of me. usually if it's like an 8 o'clock at night announcement, the team will find out that morning. And then you show it to the people that need to see it. Like that's going to be somebody in your communications
or social media.
And, maybe your coach. Certain people get to see it, but maybe not that many. I don't know. Probably very. So, like, same day.
Yeah, that's not well in advance at all.
No, that's right. But he said that this year, and I don't know why. He didn't tell me why, but this year it's a day earlier.
Hmm.
So the schedule announcement is Wednesday night. And what he told me was that teams, and I don't know if this is literally all the teams, but like the teams expect to get the schedule Tuesday morning. So then I told Joe this, and Joe said, ooh, that might mean more leaks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
An extra day of leaks. Right. And that just, like, I just tingled when he said that.
All right.
So that's it. That's the nugget.
So what we have is the potential for there to be two shows this week swallowed whole by you trying to put the puzzle pieces together of the schedule and me just sort of nodding and making noises. That's what we got. All right, yes. Good to know.
Yes. I mean, I don't think I'm going to have time this weekend to write the entire thing, and we have plans tonight, but I sort of wish I had. I have had some downtime, like mornings.
I'd like to have plans.
It's good.
So nice to have plans.
I'm excited for these plans.
Yeah, for you.
And then, you know, it'd be fun to see, like, how many did I get right? You just sort of predict the entire NFL schedule. What should you get right? Like, 10 games, maybe? And then, you know, that guy who called to say that the so-called experts were wrong when they predicted Matt Milano would sign with Kansas City, the same guy would be like, wow, your mock schedule was terrible.
Right.
Because you only got 15 games right in the whole league, as if you should get more. So, I don't know. Probably won't happen. Zach Ertz. I mentioned Zach Ertz earlier. Joe has had it in the update. There's a new report today out of Philadelphia that, again, it's really the same kind of thing every time, isn't it? That
yes. They would like to trade him.
Yeah.
Right.
This might be the strongest, though, as to they might cut him. Yep. Release him.
One way or another, he's not going to play for the Eagles. Probably. Right.
Probably, yeah.
Do you have any way of knowing this or just have a strong feeling either way whether the Bills, you think, would want Ertz at this point? Like,
I would say I would be stunned if they didn't want him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because of something that's been said, of reports, of they're not drafting a tight end? Like, why would you feel that confident?
Put all that in a pot and turn the oven on. All of it, you know? Bean said they'd like to be more of a threat at that position. They didn't draft anyone. They did sign a guy, but, you know, the guy they signed is pretty much what they've had. And, you know, Ertz at this stage of his career, I still think would be an upgrade. You know, not necessarily an upgrade over what Knox could become, but what Knox has been so far has been pretty uneventful. So I think I believed all along the, you know, people connecting them. And frankly, I was surprised that the trade didn't happen earlier, but if they can't trade him, and the Bills are a desirable destination, then I would want to commend Bean for just, you know, playing cards here. If he ends up, you know, landing this player, should he be released?
Well,
because why trade anything for a guy that you think you can get for nothing?
Yeah, that is the card game. But like a low pick isn't enough for you to just be like, okay, and then now we know he's going to be with us, right?
Well, then you are taking on the contract at that point.
And you don't want that.
And I think the team, if I do this right, the team acquiring him would be on the hook for $8 million. I think that's right. And that's probably
too big a
pill.
The Bills would have to figure out.
That'd be too big a pill to swallow, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So there could be a restructure there with the trade. But I think, you sprinkle on top of that, by the way, that they did chase Greg Olsen last season.
Right.
They've not done anything like that since, it seems, like with a free agent tight end, other than, I guess they also, I don't know to what extent, but it sounded like they were in on Gronkowski before he re-signed in Tampa. So they keep poking around with these like veteran tight ends that are would be on short-term deals. So I would agree that I think I'd be surprised that they wouldn't be interested. It just
I would expect
money.
If he gets released that they would be at the front of the line. It doesn't mean they'll land him, but it would surprise me a lot if they weren't interested in him.
And he has a good reputation, Super Bowl winner, veteran for a team that's close, that kind of more superficial look at it says yes to, I think. So we'll see, but he's still there. And I never hear any teams, maybe we've heard the Bills before, but I never hear like rumors about any teams sort of wanting him at this point. Could happen. We will have Sal on next hour. Bring that up with Sal. Also, even before that, Mark Schofield will join us to talk about the draft and the NFL. Now we're kind of at the point where we know, not necessarily in the case of Zach Ertz, but we know the rosters. The draft is over. Free agency is mostly over. And so, like, this is it. We kind of know. And so, with that in mind, we'll read the board and look ahead for the next 4 months here where there's not going to be a lot of changes. Of course, Aaron Rodgers could get traded. That would be one. But really, mostly things are pretty much set. So that's coming up next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550 here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We didn't help him out at all. He's played great for us. And even tonight, I think he did a good job of keeping us in it for as long as we were in it. We gave them some chances that we shouldn't have given them. He bailed us out a few times. And yeah, we're definitely going to look to be better for him next game.
Jeff Skinner, Sabres have 1 game left. Coach watch, just heard that mentioned again. Is there a coach watch? It should be goalie watch, Eichel watch.
Reinhardt watch.
Reinhardt watch.
Allmark watch. Well, that's part of goalie watch, I guess.
Ristolainen trade watch is just completely...
The longest running watch.
The spider webs are so thick and plentiful at this point, you can't even read the sign.
Right. The Ristolainen trade watch brought to you by the Chevrolet Chevette.
Yeah. Brought to you by AOL. Yes. Right. You already did it. For some reason, we'll probably never know. It just can't be allowed to happen. I just don't know. The Sabres have their final game tomorrow afternoon at 3. At 2, Brian Koziol is hosting an end-of-season roundtable with Paul Hamilton, Pat Malacaro, and Dan Dunleavy. So that's all right. 2 o'clock, so in the pregame slot for tomorrow's final game. Yesterday we had the idea. The idea from Wednesday did not get brought out until yesterday about the best thing about the Bills being good.
Mm-hmm.
And in the court, we took several calls about that, many from far away, people sort of remembering, talking about the emotions of last year. Their favorite thing about the Bills being good. And at one point yesterday, one caller doing that said something about the best Buffalo team ever. And so that'll be the next idea. Best Buffalo team ever. I don't know if the guy said that he thought the Bills were best. Like, they're one of.
No, if I remember correctly, I feel like the 06, 07 Sabres.
Right.
Somewhere in there, like, he was talking about his connection. I think this was the guy that maybe wasn't the biggest Bills fan, was a bigger Sabres fan. And that was the context in which he used the phrasing, best Buffalo team ever, in his opinion, was one of those mid-2000 Sabres teams, I think.
Yeah. Whether that was, like, analyzed or just a throwaway line, I don't know. But, you know, it would be a consideration.
Sure.
At least, right?
Yeah.
So that could be interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. We've got guests coming up next hour. Think about it for later. What would be your choice? And, you know, people are going to tell us about a softball team from the 50s and, you know, a track team. That's fine. Go ahead. We want that.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to know those. The Bandits.
Right.
Best Buffalo team ever. What is the best Buffalo team ever?
Luke Easter's Bisons. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Last year's Blue Jays. I don't know. This year's Bisons?
This year's Blue Jays.
This year's Blue Jays? Will this year's Blue Jays be the best Buffalo team ever? Maybe. They're not that good. They're fun. They're coming.
Yep.
Less than a month. The Jays are in Houston this weekend. Your Boston Red Sox are in Baltimore, which you knew because that's your team.
Mm-hmm. I'm upset with them right now. I almost made a World Series bet on them, and now they have the best record in baseball.
We both loved it. We both loved Boston, and neither of us did anything. Yeah. Don't tell Gavin later. He'll be like, why didn't you come over and bet the Red Sox if you're so confident?
Right.
I should have, but we didn't. No. Yankees have the Nationals this weekend. The Mets have Arizona. They get Zach Gallen tonight. Mark Schofield next. Back to football. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.